We're all ears.
So, Marsh had an idea.
Sitting.
Yeah. Well, few people dropped out, so whatever we're left with, and not everybody here.
And what kind of how will the presentation be?
Well, presentation is that devotees, they share their personal experiences.
Okay, so it'll just
on
be
the basis of verses.
It'll be a discussion.
Yeah, they just make their short presentations, 5 minutes, and then.
Okay, so then maybe for that, then maybe you could all sit on this side.
Okay.
You know, facing this way.
Okay.
Like that. If we do it for the dramas, then everybody will sit here facing that way. So you have that side. But for this, then sit there on the rug there. So then you can see everybody.
Yeah, besides myself, there are only two people. I mean, three people in here.
Three of you sit there, panel.
Okay.
You're doing first?
What part are you doing?
1, 2, 3. Verses 1, 2, 3.
No, chapters.
So what is each verse? So the other verse is the same? 1, 1, 11?
Yeah.
Okay,
okay, I'll just do 10.
Yep. So you want to go first?
Yeah.
Okay, so Vedadhar Prabhu is doing his presentation first. Please listen attentively.
My presentation is on chapter 1, text 10. Basically, summary, it's a description of the mentality of people in Kali Yuga and how they act. Men in Kali Yuga are described as being quarrelsome, lazy, misguided, always disturbed, and having short lives. And this is pretty evident in modern society, because we have had many wars that I've studied in history personally. That proves that they're being quarrelsome all the time. And the laziness is both materially and spiritually. Some people may appear to be working hard materially, but spiritually they're very lazy. They don't search for spiritual realization. And this is also due to their educational system. Because the modern educational system right now that is in place, it diverts their energies towards studying in science, which is more or less. No, it's not based on fact, it's just lots of theories, and it turns them away from God, and like it's illegal to speak about God in science classes nowadays. And so the result of this is that most people don't search for anything, and those that do are often misdirected by the false pretenders that are very common in Western society nowadays. There are many groups that do yoga or other things like that. And before, in the 60s and stuff, they used to just, well, do drugs and stuff, and that was claimed to be spiritual realization. The people in the Western society are always disturbed and full of anxiety because their energies are diverted into sense gratificationary diversions, such as clubs, gambling, and such things. And so, also the many wars that are sort of done in the name of religious causes, you can say, like the Muslims, bombings and all that stuff, that sort of makes them they don't have any peace in their lives anymore, and they're searching for this, but they're not doing it properly. So very few of them have the good fortune to go to pure devotees, and they get preached to. And that's why the sages are asking Sudha Goswami in the next verse to explain the essence of the scriptures, because that's the solution. And there's nobody qualified at that time, or even now, in the Western society, to understand these scriptures and take the essence out of them and explain it to the world.
Question? Yes, in this verse, there's the phrase
Alpa Ayusha, which means that human beings' life in this Kali Yuga is short, very short. But we're always hearing that because of modern medicine and science, life is being prolonged longer and longer, and we're always being given promises that they're making such advances in like cellular biology and so on, that they're studying how and why the cells age, and they think they can reverse the process. And so they're predicting that within a few years, human life can be extended even into centuries.
Well, there's already a process for living eternally. You just surrender to Krishna and you go back to Vaikuntha and you stay there. But, well, this process is purely material, and if they follow Kapila's teachings, still, I don't think that's possible. Because, well, every living entity has... There are 6 changes in the body that they go during the lifetime. Of birth, and there's growing up, and they stay, then they produce byproducts, and they age and they die. So these are the main process of living entities, how they go through their lives. And I don't think they're going to sort of break Krishna's material energy, which is a lot more powerful than they think.
Well, I was just pointing at the... this is like a predictive sort of statement, because this is spoken at the very beginning of Kali Yuga, or just before it. And they're looking ahead and saying, the lives will become short, but now in our modern time, lives appear to be getting longer and longer.
Well, it shows how materialistic they are as well, because they don't want to get out of the material world. They just want to stay in for longer, in the same body.
Okay. All right. I'll accept that answer.
Just think of the advantage. You can be an old geezer for, you know, an extra 70 years.
No, but actually, one reply is that one can say, well, if you really take the real average, in other words, you count the number of abortions and factor that into the lifespan, the lifespan is very, very short.
Sure, yeah.
on the total average. Because every year there's millions and millions of abortions all around the world. And so these are, you know, unborn children living only for a few weeks or months. And you factor that into, you know, the supposedly longer lives, and it actually comes out to be a very short life on average.
Probably also, if you check the averages, then if you live longer, there's more of a chance to get run over by a truck.
That's one other aspect to this. Previously, people used to live much longer because they didn't take all those medicines and all those, I don't know, intoxicants and so many other things, all this circulating. Food which is full of preservatives and so on. So people used to live much longer, so then it would step back one, I think would live longer.
I think is in Purport Prabhupada mentioning that because of irregulation, people's life is shortened.
Yeah. I think he says that.
Yeah. Some devotees were just seeing an old couple, I think like in their 80s and that. You know, and every day they do exactly the same thing. There's no difference in their schedule. They're, you know, healthy and active.
All right, so... How old are you?
17.
Some available books. Also, short presentation on 1111. not relate to an accident, but it is connected with the part of this shloka here. No?
Speak loud.
Yeah.
Maybe I can just read out the translation?
Yeah.
Okay.
You have it.
There are many varieties of scriptures. This is the next verse, right?
Yep. Yeah.
And all of them, there are many prescribed duties which can be learned only after many years of study in their various divisions. Therefore, O sage, please select the essence of all these scriptures and explain it for the good of all living beings, that by such instruction their hearts may be fully satisfied.
I read just because I don't want to lose the track. No? One time in a comment to a lecture of Srimad Bhagavatam, I repeated the words of Srila Prabhupada in this comment of the shloka, that it's not possible to strictly follow the Varnashram in our society. The devotee asked the why it is not possible if Krishna wants, not think it is impossible. The point is that Krishna don't want. Through his pure devotee, Krishna is telling us in this comment that it's not possible to follow all the rules and regulations of Varnashram and Kali Yuga. This don't mean that we should reject Varnashrama. This means that we should follow Varnashrama as much as possible, but our main focus should be Sankirtan Yagya, because this is the main point that Krishna, in the form of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, stressed, and this will be also the answer of Sutta Goswami. This is what I wrote about, mainly about the poor part of Prabhupada that I can read. Taking consideration the following condition of the people in general in this age of Kali, the sage of Namisharaya suggested that Siva Sutta Goswami relate to the essence of all such scriptures, because in this age it is not possible for the fallen soul to understand and undergo all the lesson of all these various scriptures in Varna and Ashram system. No?
The verse says, and in the purport also, Srila Prabhupada writes that all scriptures and spiritual instructions are meant for the satisfaction of this self or Atma. In other words, we are supposed to derive spiritual satisfaction from these different kinds of scriptures. Could you say something about that?
Yeah, like practically all the scripture, Vyasadeva, no? He tried to satisfy everyone in according to their own position, their own situation in life and in society. But still, Narada Muni point out that the main thing, you know, is to speak about Krishna, no? Mm. Said to him, you fail to glorify Krishna in your work of Vedic literature.
So how are these two things connected? That's actually what I'm asking.
Because there is different level of satisfaction. One can also try to satisfy the need of people in consciousness, no? Like also by following, and what I understand that by following Vyasadeva, while following the Veda, one can satisfy himself, and also in the same time, because it's a religious life, you can be lifted up, no? But ultimately, it's a long way, no? And it's better to, Narada Muni advised Vyasadeva that it's better to straight go to the glorification of Krishna.
Okay. That, like, well, if I could just try to make it more clear.
Yeah.
That, if we speak of Varnashram Dharma, or even we go outside of the Vedic context and look at various scriptures around the world, so they all contain rules and regulations. And famously in the Bible, there are the Ten Commandments. And if we compare the Ten Commandments, you know, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not commit adultery, very basic things. We compare them against all the rules of the Vedic Shastra, you know, this is very simple. But we see in the modern age that people can't even follow the simple Ten Commandments, so to speak, of all the, you know, hundreds and hundreds of rules in Vedic Dharma Shastra.
And for this reason, Prabhupada gives this indication that it's not possible in Kali Yuga.
Yeah. So the point is that people can't follow these rules because they're not satisfied with them. So if you just give so many, you have scriptures that just say don't do this, 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 and people, you know, then you'll be good. So, you know, that moral appeal to be good, that cannot sustain a person, you know, especially as Kali Yuga gets worse and worse, more inauspicious, then the animalistic side of human nature becomes more prominent. And they give up all these rules and regulations, become demoniac, totally demoniac. So therefore, when Narada came to Vyasadeva, you have to give them that which will provide the higher taste, you see. And that was Srila Prabhupada's vision. Let Sankirtan cover the world. He used to say, if in your scripture that you follow, you have a name of God, then you don't need to chant Krishna's name. But take your own name in your own scripture and chant that. Do as we're doing. Taste the nectar of the holy name. So this is what the Hare Krishna movement is intended to encourage people to do, that to get that positive taste. Then the soul, nenatma supersediti, then the soul becomes satisfied. And then this is the point that Maya Vinivartan Tevnir Harsha Dehinaha Asavarjam Rasopasya Param Dishradna Vartate, second chapter of Gita. That without Param Dishra, a higher taste, then one cannot follow all these negative principles. You know, don't do this, don't do that, you'll go to hell. I remember reading in some magazine report about, I don't know, there was some convention, it was a report on some convention that they held in Las Vegas. You know, they make these very terrible movies, these terrible films, pornographic films, and, you know, showing sex and all that. And so one of the actresses, they come up just like in the Oscar nights, you know, they receive rewards. So she came up to receive her reward and she said on the microphone, he said, yes, for being in this movie, I know I'm going to go to hell. But, and then she turned to everyone there, but I know at the same time all of my friends, all of you will be there too. So we can have a good time in hell also. So they very, you know, willingly go to hell. unless there's a higher taste.
So there are many obstacles in the society, no? Like, you cannot apply, for example, the Manu Samhita, because if we want to apply Manu Samhita, the government will consider us criminals. Because in the Manu Samhita, it is said that we should start to handle people with steel. We cannot do, because it's against the law of the government. It's not possible.
All right. Thank you. Very nice.
Should I make my presentation?
Yes.
So I took verse from the second chapter of the first canto, which is verse number 10. Kamasya nendriya pritir, labho jiveta yavata, jivasya tatva jigyasa, nartho yascheha karma vihi. It is explained by Sutta Goswami that life's desire should never be directed towards sense gratification. One should desire only a healthy life or self-preservation, since the goal of human life should be to inquire about the absolute truth, and nothing else should be the goal of one's life. And of course we know that at present not many people realize that simple fact, that they should live, they should have simple living and high thinking, rather they tend to do the opposite thing. And we, from our side, have a very simple but very effective method of putting our message across. One of the methods is book distribution. And I had an interesting experience while distributing books in London. Normally, book distributors, and also myself, there is this experience that before you approach the person, you already know sort of whether the person will be receptive or not by, you know, physiognomy or something like that. Somebody looks weird, you know, leave the person alone. But sometimes, just because of a rush, you know, but because of some distractions, then, you know, you come across wrong person. And this is what happened to me. I came across one man, I just turned to him and offered him a book. And when I looked at his face, he looked as fanatical Christian. And I thought, wow, I'm in trouble. And sure enough, he immediately got on my case and he started preaching to me really heavy, you know, like round eyes and Jesus Christ is the only way. And I thought, God Almighty, you know, what should I do now? But I didn't want to go away because it was a nice spot. And then I looked around. Yeah, I was thinking that, you know, I should really, you know, try to preserve my life because he's attacking me so heavily. And then I turned around and I saw two window cleaners nearby. And they were listening to the conversation, to versation rather, from this guy very attentively. And I thought, what do I do? And then I asked one of the cleaners, you also Christian? He said, no way. And I asked him, who are you? I'm a Muslim. And then I said, are you agree with this guy? He said, no way I agree with him. He is crazy. And I told him, can you explain this to him, please? And then, you know, before 1 second passed, you know, the World War III started between them. And, you know, because this Muslim guy, he was even worse than this Christian guy. And he applied, you know, all his weight, you know, like he was like, what, you know, that he started, he said that, wake up, brother, Islam is the fastest growing and biggest religion in the world. You know, every second or every 2 seconds, one other person becomes Muslim. You know, where are you? You know, with your, you know, old, outdated Christian stuff. Islam is the last, you know, message of God. And, you know, they're like fighting like anything. And then another window cleaner, he was, you know, watching at this scene, with, you know, really, he was shocked. Apparently, this was his friend, and he never saw him in such a fury before. And then, you know, he turned to me and he said, I cannot understand why they're fighting amongst themselves so much. It's obvious that there is a God, but who knows who is God, how he looks like, what's his name, you know, that why they fight. None of them knows about anything about God, apparently. And I told him, would you like to know a little more about God than that? He said, definitely. And then I told him, here you go, take a book. And then he took a book, gave a donation, and I happily walked away and continued distributing books. You know. And then, you know, story continued a few days later. I was on the same spot distributing books, and then the same Muslim guy was passing by, and he stopped, and I thought, no, I'm in trouble now. Now he'll get on my case with him, his Islam. But then, you know, but he came up to me, he said, you know, how are you, and all. And he was very friendly, I was surprised. And then I told him, you know, by the way, thank you very much for, you know, sparing me from this fanatical Christian guy, you know, because otherwise I was in big trouble. He said, you know, no worry, I'm very happy that I could help you. And actually, he said, I know you because, you know, I ate a few times in your restaurant and I really like you. And I said, well, looks like you're really nice and serious religious man. You must be practicing. And he said, yes, I actually, you know, practice all Islam rules, namaz and everything, and I'm chanting regularly on my beads, names of Allah. And I understand that God is one and all these things. And then I told him, you like vegetarian food, because he was taking prasadam in the restaurant. He said, yeah, it's really great. And then I said, you know, that actually it is recommended that if you want to, you know, become more spiritually elevated, it's better to avoid meat. And he said, yes, actually, I feel that now, that, you know, I'd rather avoid meat altogether. And then he also took a book and gave a donation, like that. So we can see that, you know, it's purely Srila Prabhupada's mercy that even though Kali Yuga is such a horrible age, but by Prabhupada's books, especially Bhagavatam, of course, and by prasadam, by chanting, and by devotee association, people changing on the spot, they, you know, either in nasty way or in a nice way, but still, because of so much preaching, they have to ask about Krishna. And because of the influence of devotional service, they gradually giving up all these tendencies for sense gratification. So even though it seems to be impossible, but by Srila Prabhupada's mercy and by Lord Chaitanya's mercy, it is happening day by day, more and more. More and more people inquiring about Krishna, and more they giving up sense gratification gradually.
Anyone have any question?
What was the story?
It's the beginning of Old Oxford Street, corner of Tottenham Court Road and Old Oxford Street. Practical question.
That's too, so you can go to the spa or avoid the spa.
I know it well, you know. I know only further after you mentioned. It's a window cleaner.
It's interesting how in the verse you took as your for your presentation, Prabhupada writes that a human being is meant for inquiry about the absolute truth. Nothing else should be the goal of one's work. And then in the very famous next verse, because at the end of the purport to your verse, Prabhupada says, and what that absolute truth is explained as follows. And then Vedanti Tattva Viras Tattvam Yajganam Advoyam Brahmeti Paramatmeti Bhagavan Iti Shabjate. So it's also nice, I think, fits with your experience that Krishna consciousness, this Bhagavad philosophy is so wonderful that whatever conception a person, because Prabhupada, he actually did allow, like for example, Christianity, he did allow that we could consider a kind of primitive form of Vaishnavism. If we're talking about persons who are sincere, or Islam, or any other religion, he once gave the standard that as long as they're teaching that the material world is not your home, not the place for the spirit soul to remain, then we can accept it as being a genuine religion. So they have these, they'll have different conceptions of God. And like in Islam, as far as I know, quite impersonal. Because my godbrother, Bhakti Vaibhava Maharaj, is now, but at that time he was Avinash Chandra Das Brahmachari. He went to Lebanon and he was distributing the first Arabic Bhagavad Gita. And he got into, he ended up in a surrounded, he got picked up off the street where he's distributing by some friendly looking Muslim man who said, I have questions, who brought him to a house, and suddenly he was pushed into the house and there were these very angry Muslims, you know, a dozen of them or so, and they surrounded him in a circle and they all started yelling at him, and they all had Gitas, this Arabic Gitas, and they're all shouting, you have committed blasphemy, because in the Arabic language Allah means God. It's not actually so much a personal name as that designation, like in English we say God, so Allah God. So God is God, they say, Allah is Allah. And what they objected to was, because the translators had used for personality of Godhead or God, Allah. So the Arabic Gita was talking about Allah's lotus feet. And they were very disturbed by that, because they say you cannot, you know, put the human conception upon Allah. He does not have feet. Totally impersonal being, that was their conception. But you see, Bhagavad philosophy is so supple, so it's so malleable and all-inclusive, universal, that even from Srimad Bhagavatam, then we can begin to preach to people who have an impersonal idea of God. Yes, that is also an aspect of Krishna. Or those, I was just, before the class started, we were speaking with Maharaj, and we were talking about, there's a certain, within Buddhism, a certain type of Buddhists in Japan, a certain sect called Shingon, which means mantra, mantrayana Buddhists, and they seem to have a Paramatma conception. They speak of the Adi Buddha, the original Buddha, beyond the form of Maya and beyond even the formlessness of Nirvana, there is the original Buddha. And all language comes from this Buddha. Anyway, it's very interesting. So, a kind of super soul understanding, or Mahavishnu type understanding of Buddha. Prabhupada actually said the Buddha avatar comes from Mahavishnu. So, and then of course, then those who have a personal conception, Prabhupada would say, if you have some idea of God which is more complete than Krishna, then bring that conception, present it, let us hear. Because we are saying that the fullest conception of the personality of Godhead is Krishna, because it's so detailed. Every intimate detail is there about this Supreme Personality of Godhead. So many people talk of love of God, and they say, they talk in personal terms, Him, I am praying to Him. So let us come to the point, who is that person? So this is Bhagavad philosophy. It's so wonderful. Let's all embrace it. We can start on any level to talk about the Lord on their level and bring them up. So it was a nice story.
Thank you.
And anyone else on your panel?
Well, nobody else is here. I mean,
I can be one of those.
Were you on his panel?
No, but I can.
Well,
I'm not in no one's panel.
Oh. What verse you want to talk about?
Any one of the ones of the first or two and six.
Yeah.
Okay.
Some verse maybe that on your panel is not covered.
Yeah, there are lots of verses. You can choose any. Let's go to the first verse. Chapter 1, question by the sages. Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya. Janmadyasya jato nyayaditaratascharkasu avignyaswarat tene brahma hridadikavaye muhyanti yatsuraya Tejo varimridam jatavini mayo yatatrisarvam rasa Dhamma svena sadhani rashta guhakam Satyam param dimahi. O my Lord Sri Krishna, son of Vasudev, all pervading personality of Godhead, I offer my respectful obeisances unto you. I meditate upon Lord Sri Krishna because he is the absolute truth and the primeval cause of all causes of the creation, sustenance, and destruction of the manifested universes. He is directly and indirectly conscious of all manifestations, and he is independent because there is no other cause beyond him. It is he only who first imparted the Vedic knowledge unto the heart of Brahmaji, the original living being. By him, even the great sages and demigods are placed into illusion, as one is bewildered by the illusory representations of water seen in fire, or land seen on water. Only because of him do the material universes, temporarily manifested by the reaction of the three modes of nature, appear factual, although they are unreal. I therefore meditate upon him, Lord Sri Krishna, who is eternally existent in the transcendental abode, which is forever free from the illusory representation of the material world. I meditate upon him, for he is the absolute truth. So this is also nice to see Srila Vyasadeva's perfect realization of Lord Sri Krishna. So even though Narada Muni is instructing him to write the Srimad Bhagavatam, and maybe we think that he didn't have a complete conception of Lord Krishna. That's why he was writing the Vedic literature in a more subtle way, not so direct. He has perfect knowledge about Lord Sri Krishna. His knowledge is perfect and complete. And he is analyzing Lord Krishna as the source of everything, the sanam bonum. And he starts the Srimad Bhagavatam with this perfect verse to describe Krishna completely. He is independent because he can exist by himself without all his creation, the living entities, the energies, his associates. His Atma Rama, but at the same time, he wants to expand the pleasure for everyone, but at the same time he's independent. We can see this in his pastimes. He, like Maharaj was telling us the other day, he was meditating on himself. He is the only one who can really meditate on himself, because he is completely satisfied. But at the same time, one of the natures of Lord Krishna is his caring nature, his giving nature. He is completely full of desire to give everyone the chance to be completely happy. So he keeps expanding more and more living entities. He endowed each one of these creations with perfect knowledge, bliss, and eternity. And each one of these living entities can have a perfect relationship with him through all these different rasas that he creates. So the Lord, even though independent, at the same time he wants to interact. And this interaction is what is called bhakti, or devotion. He is not forcing this devotion on us. That's why he gives us this free will. He wants that we recognize his transcendental energies, his transcendental qualities, his transcendental demeanor and personality, and then become somehow connected through him, through friendship, through servitude, through any one of these rasas. So independent, but at the same time, full of desire to interact. And at the same time, he is swara. So Srila Vyasadeva is describing Lord Krishna as the fountainhead of all creations. And what we see now as creation, he said, is not real. It's just like a reflection. So reflection more or less shows the reality. Just like a tree who is seen in water. We can see the trunk, we can see the branches and the leaves. But it's only in one dimension. We cannot really perceive the fragments of the tree. If we try to touch it in the water, we not perceive its texture. So the same, the material world has some reflection of the spiritual world. The relationships in the material world have some reflection of the spiritual relationships. But it's actually, we cannot taste it. So this Srimad Bhagavatam, by presenting the pastimes, form, entourage, and qualities of Lord Sri Krishna, give us the ability to see the reality of the spiritual nature. So then we become completely mesmerized by this transcendental truth. And then we can give up this material energy. So without the Srimad Bhagavatam, there's no chance to be detached from the material world. Like Maharaj was saying, all these rules and regulations, how are we going to get attached to Krishna by these rules and regulations? Unless we see the sweetness of Krishna, unless we taste this rasa, we will not be able to give up the material world. Then, by hearing Srimad Bhagavatam, and by seeing the character of the devotee who is practicing this Bhagavad philosophy, automatically we can also get the taste of giving up this material energy and start developing taste for Krishna. So, like Prabhu was saying, the Varnashram system, it can be so difficult to follow, especially in this present age of Kali. But if we get the attachment to hear the narrations of the Srimad Bhagavatam and to try to develop our relationship with Krishna, then automatically these rules and regulations become part of the nature of the society, of the families, of the individual. Because these are what the Varnashram system is a highly developed, civilized interactions. So these interactions become automatically manifest in a person who's developing Krishna consciousness. Because all the qualities of the demigods are automatically developed in the person who practices Krishna consciousness. So without this Srimad Bhagavatam, we'll not be able to distinguish real from unreal. And just the extended relationships, or extended desire to help people through piety, these are just again inside the sphere of material energy. So what the people call religion will never take them to the spiritual world. So only Srimad Bhagavatam can break through the so-called religion that is just material piety and bring us to the lotus feet of Lord Krishna. So even though this verse is incredibly impossible to try to analyze, I was trying my best.
Right. Stepped in and saved the day. We had a complete panel presentation today. So tomorrow, our own captive panel will make its presentation. Our boys of the school, they'll have to be here. So everyone, please come. And those of you who did come today, I'd like to thank you, especially because you had to brave this inauspicious-looking fog to get to come out here. It's very cold today, so that's very nice of you. I think that there's some persons who are enrolled who haven't paid their 100 rupees yet. Do you have a list of names? Oh, no.
You can ask somebody.
Well, anyway, you know who you are. We don't want to embarrass anyone. But for the month of January, some of you haven't paid yet your 100 rupees. And we're going to be printing new material. I want to make sure everyone gets, during this week, at least the numbers of these verses, the important verses we gave to the group leaders. But we want everyone to get, so that you'll know, the key verses of the first 10 chapters. The idea of these panels is that they can select at least some of these verses and present them. To drive them home, that they're important. So we want to give you those this week. So for all this printing and Xeroxing, we need Lakshmi. So therefore we're asking these very cheap 100 rupees a month. All right. So thank you again for coming, and we hope we'll see you tomorrow. Same time, same place. Less fog, I hope, tomorrow than today. Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai.